Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a passage of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 31 and another passage in Jeremiah 32, where God talks about this new covenant. He talks about some promises that he's making to us in this new covenant, and this will be a time today to receive these promises from him about this new covenant. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making his sacrifice active and relevant and alive right now today in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. It's proving the death. That's like an activation that activates all of the benefits of this new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, stir them into our mind and remembrance, and put it together with something practical and physical that we do in the cracker and the juice. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and reverence and respect for God. So the process we typically use is about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves before our time of communion. The Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we typically go through some practical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to allow God to do the work through us, to practice that, to experience that. And then once we understand how to do that, we can practically apply that into all the other areas of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, their friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities and make the most of them. I ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's talk about the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? The time to examine ourselves, because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But that perspective has got to be brought back down into today. It's got to impact our today, the way we think, the way we talk, the decisions that we make. Our day-to-day lives, that eternal perspective with God has got to impact our day-to-day lives. is where we talk about executing our four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's take our position in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. And this is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. So take our position in the light. We're going to get positioned in humility today. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves, and we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. Because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith and the easiest way to keep our positioning all day long is just to stay positioned in gratitude and praise all day. And when we take our position, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything he has and he's given it all to Jesus. We're going to see some amazing promises that he's made to us today in this new covenant. About how he's promised to just do good for us continually. He's taken everything he has and he put it in Christ, and we get to be in him today. So this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his kingdom, his mind, his wisdom, his health and energy, his purpose, time and finances, we become part of his family. It's all available in the light today. So first we're going to take our position in it, but then we're going to start to magnify it. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. It's to expand that capacity where God can flow more of all those good things he has through us. And it's all about what we're focused on. What's our focus and attention on throughout the day? I like to think of the idea of meditation helps us to magnify. Meditation, I think of what are the things we're doing repeatedly? The things we're speaking over and over, the things we're thinking over and over, the things we're rolling over and over in our mind and repeating consistently in our day-to-day lives. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, thinking about it and talking about it and meditating on it, his unfailing love and his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify and meditate on our right standing in Christ. We're right with God. We got God's peace, his blessing, his favor on our lives because of what Jesus did. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us and whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We can magnify and meditate on all the things that are going well, looking at how far God has already brought us, looking at all the things he's already done for us. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring those issues and problems into the light and to magnify God as bigger. Rather than magnifying the size of the problems, we're going to magnify the size of God in the face of those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, looking out for ourselves, venting and complaining, magnifying the size of the issues rather than staying focused on God and magnifying him. He does give us a choice. And that's where we've got to recognize those symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, we're magnifying it. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people, or we're going to withhold good things that we know to do or give them the silent treatment or avoid them, all because they did something, they said something about you. Who knows what it is? We're not functioning in love and grace. We're not functioning in unconditional love and grace the way that God has loved us. And that keeps us positioned and stuck in the darkness. And you'll feel this heaviness and this weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you on the inside. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, powerlessness, like you're stuck or you're trapped and it seems like there's no way out. Then there's the low energy that comes along with this. It's like it just sucks the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future. There's confusion about which steps to take and which direction to go. We get stuck in these vicious cycles that become very hard to break free from. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more that rest begins to grow. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless, energizing, because I've got his peace and his joy and his love and his energy, his mind and wisdom all begin to flow. We're at rest and he's at work. He just begins to effortlessly set us free and break us free. Bad habits, bad patterns, situations seem like there was no answer to. And if all this weren't enough, he gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to get it turned right back around. He can turn the tables quickly. Just takes a moment to get right back into position again. How do we do it? First of all, we've got to recognize those symptoms, recognizing that we're off track. Humbling ourselves and saying, you know what? I'm missing it right now. I'm off track right now. We humble ourselves before God and just say, Father, I've missed it. For whatever it was, whatever it may be, forgive me. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or we need to reconcile a relationship, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking God for his love and his grace and his goodness. And that he's more than enough. And all of a sudden, you'll feel that shift. You'll feel the weight lift off of you. You feel your energy levels and your faith and your confidence begin to rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. And this lightness just comes into your spirit. This rest in your soul. Then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to lead us and train us and teach us, but we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. First thing I like to do, I like to start by writing out, what am I grateful for? What am I grateful for to get my positioning? Then I like to magnify it. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Then it's good to examine ourselves. Let's look back over the last day. Let's reflect over the last day. How was my positioning? How was my focus? Any adjustments that I need to make? Any areas where I was toiling away in my mind or feeling that weight and pressure? Like I was carrying it rather than God. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write it down. There's something very powerful that happens when we take the things that are in our head and we get them out of our head and onto the paper. There's a conversion that happens. We talked about this recently. Something happens physically in our body. Something changes when we actually get it out of our head and we speak it or we write it down or whatever it may be. There's a change that happens on the inside. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day today. As God leads us and guides us, he may course correct or navigate our path. You ever feel like you're losing that connection to him? Just slow down for a minute or two. Doesn't take long. Just get connected to him. Get plugged back into him again. And then the last thing I like to do in my journal is I like to plan out the next day with God before bed. And what I've learned to do is stick with what I know to do today. Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I would ask him for his leading and direction, but I wouldn't wait for him to show me. And I would just start doing whatever I thought was best. And I would make mistakes or I'd have to redo a bunch of stuff and it was wasting time. So I learned to wait for him to show me. On the other side, there were sometimes things that I knew to do. Things kept popping up in my conscience, like, oh, I know I need to do that. Oh, I know I need to do that. But I would put it off. And now I'm getting behind God's timing. And so what I've learned to do is, what do I know to do today? What do I know needs to get done? Is there anything in my conscience, anything I've been procrastinating on? Anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do that I know to do? Write out the plan, and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. First thing in the morning, let's get connected to him, start praising him and thanking him and magnifying him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership with him, with a good heart, with a willing attitude, and full confidence in him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to this place of this confident faith, this grace begins to flow through us and it begins to magnetize us. That grace begins to flow. He's the source of beauty. He begins to beautify our lives as we rest and he does the work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more. of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today, coming from the book of Jeremiah. So this is Jeremiah chapter 31. These scriptures we're going to talk about this new covenant that we're taking communion over every day. Just some promises God has made for us in this new covenant. So this is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 33 through 34. God says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." And if you look in the New Testament, we see that Paul talks about how this mystery has been revealed to him, that now the Gentiles, which is all of us, get to be partakers of this as well. "This is the covenant that I'm going to make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Think about that. God's not going to remember our sins. He's going to write his laws on our hearts so that we would know him. Then in Jeremiah chapter 32, a couple paragraphs later, God says this, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way." What's the one way? Jesus says, "I'm the way." "I'll give them one heart and one way, and that heart's going to have his laws written on it, that they may fear me forever." Something good to study would be the fear of the Lord. Look how many great promises there are for those that fear the Lord. "That they may fear me forever for their own good and the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." So this covenant that we have, this new covenant, is an everlasting covenant. And what is that covenant? "That I will not turn away from doing good to them." So during this time of the year, over the last couple of days, we've been talking about this word turn. First, we discussed when we go through this process of actually doing what we know to do, we physically express, let's say, gratitude through writing it down or speaking it rather than just thinking it. There's a conversion. There's a turning that happens from digital information to analog information that's out into the world. There's a conversion. There's a turning that happens. We've talked about the Feast of Purim is coming up pretty soon on March 16th and 17th of this year in 2022, which is a reminder of how quickly God can turn the tables to take us from fasting to feasting. It's a reminder that Jesus is our table turner. And the tables have been turned in this new covenant. Look at this. The tables have been turned. God promises, "I will never turn away from doing good for them." If that's not grace, I don't know what is. Even though we miss it, even though we mess up, God will never turn away from doing good for us. This is one of the most important things I had to understand. I went through a time in my life where God showed me I need to develop understanding. And what it was that I needed to understand was his grace right here. That he never stops doing good for us in this new covenant. Even when we feel like we've missed it, he never stops doing good for us. "And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me." God's never going to turn away from us, and he's going to put the fear of him in our hearts so that we won't turn away from him. Look at this. All of this is available in the new covenant. This is amazing. "And I will rejoice in doing them good." What's that? God's going to rejoice in doing them good. "I will plant them in this land in faithfulness and with all my heart and soul." He's going to do it. These are some truly amazing promises for us today. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. Just so thankful for all that you've promised us in this new covenant, this covenant commitment that you've made for us. Recently, we talked about the difference between covenant and feelings. One of the things we have to learn how to function in this new covenant is to stick to our covenant commitments. God's promise, "I'm only going to do good. I'm going to rejoice in doing good for you. Even when you don't deserve it, I'm going to rejoice in doing good for you." And he'll never change that. Even when he doesn't feel like doing it, he's going to do it anyway. Something we have to learn to do as well. So Father, we're just so grateful for these amazing promises that you've made us in this new covenant, that the tables have been turned. And you're doing good for us continually. And you're putting the fear of you in our hearts so that we won't turn away from you either. And I just thank you. And we're receiving these promises from you today. We're going to let this breaking of the bread today be the moment that we receive this promise. From this point on, once we break the bread, that's the marker in time. Breaking off any old patterns. And from now on, we're functioning in this new covenant here. It's an amazing thing. So, Father, we're just so thankful that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We get to remember. He's with us. He's for us. He's never going to stop doing good for us. He'll never turn away from us. Wrote his laws on our hearts. Put the fear of him within us. Father, we're just so thankful for this. We ask you to bless this bread in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." That forgiveness of sins. He's going to remember our sins no more. He's going to do good for us continually. Father, we just thank you. I ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some workout stuff here. So something I've been experimenting with lately is on our daily communion workouts. If you don't have the workouts, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. If you get on our email list there, on the daily communion emails that go out, there's a workout that's attached to them. And one of the things that's on there is a consistent daily workout. A lot of repetition. Think of it like meditation. You're doing the same things over and over quite a bit. But eventually, you're going to get to a point where it's good to start to introduce a little bit of variety. And so something I've started doing is alternating days. I have one day, it's just the very same consistent workout, practicing those regular lifts and exercises each day. I think of that like a high day. I'm trying to move forward on those days. On the other day, progress, we've said, goes in waves. So think of it like a high day and a low day. On the low day, what I've been doing is taking those very same lifts and very same exercises, but doing a different variation of them just to work the muscles from a slightly different angle. Because sometimes just changing your hand position or your foot position or your grip or just a slightly different variation of an exercise can just work the muscles in a slightly different way that triggers some further progress. And what I've been doing on those exercises is introducing some more variety. It's the same movements. For example, I'm still doing, let's say, lunges. But instead of doing walking lunges, I'm doing a reverse lunge where I'm stepping backwards. I'm still doing deadlifts, let's say, but I'm changing up my stance and doing a wider stance, or I'm changing up my grip and doing a wider grip. I'm still doing shoulder press with a barbell, let's say, but I might change it one day and do them behind my neck. I might do them with a dumbbell one day, one arm at a time. So I'm just varying up slight variables in this. And when I do this, I could do it very gently. So think of it like a low day. We're going to be more gentle. I do it very gentle. I keep the reps the same exact as the other day as well. But I'm doing it very gentle with a lighter weight, and I'm doing it with a much slower tempo, trying to keep the tension in the muscles the whole time. To be slow and controlled and to be able to engage and feel those different muscles working. And this is a great way that I've found where it builds in a low day that's kind of some recovery between our next attempt to move forward. So there's some highs and some lows. Now, you don't need to start with this. What I would highly recommend, so I did about 4 months of the same exact thing every single day. And then I began to hit a surge around the end of those 4 months where I really shot up in what I was doing. And then when I got to that higher level, I started to find, wait a minute, I'm gonna have to build in a little bit of variety into this. So drill it first until you got those fundamentals in place. Once you got the fundamentals in place, then we can start to add a little bit of the variety and the tempo into it. But I hope that's been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.